Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
Bum, 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 bum.
The bye week is over. Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay from wherever he was, parts unknown in the greater United States, which we'll ask him about. It is the Aaron Rodgers Show with Aaron Rodgers and Jason Wilde. How you doing today?
Doing good, buddy.
Good
to be back in the controls here.
Yeah, you were out of your element. You weren't able to turn all the knobs over there.
I know. I still don't know what they do, but
that's not true. You know exactly what they
do. You're right.
How was your bye week?
It was good. Relaxing. Yeah. I think everybody says the same thing. Well, I do every year. It's not long enough. Right when you get settled, you got to come back.
Well, now, you wouldn't tell anyone. You were in your Carmen Sandiego mode, and you wouldn't tell anyone where you were.
Where
now that you're back.
In the world is
Carmen Sandiego. Yeah. What? Where was Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think as far as an attempt to keep your privacy, but also security, I'm just going to tell you that my highlight from the bye week, which was going to Nashville and seeing my little brother live play. They played against Arkansas, had him on the ropes, had a chance to go up 15. Running back fumbled, Arkansas ran back for a touchdown. And ended up losing by 3. They missed a field goal, took a chip shot late. But he played great, so that was the highlight of the bye week. Also got to play golf one time.
How'd you play?
Terrible. Terrible. I have too many swing thoughts in my head right now. But
now, wait a minute. Didn't you talk to Hank Haney? Didn't he fix you?
I did. Well, yeah, but I haven't worked on that since July.
So okay.
I didn't shank any balls, but I didn't really hit any straight. So, you know, they were either going low right to left or high left to right.
So what number did you put up when you were done?
I think, let me see. I did better on the backside. I think I was around 90. So
okay, there's a lot of us that would be happy with 90.
Yeah, it is a tough course. It's a very tough course. And we played about 7 in the morning, so a little bit wet. But yeah, it was disappointing.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Jordan's game. What is it like for you, since you're used to being in the middle of the action, what is it like for you to be in the stands for a game, not only watching a game? Maybe explain to us how you see a football game from a observer's point of view, and then how do you see it as a big brother?
Well, I'll be honest, it's difficult to watch with the armchair quarterbacks in the stands. It is. It's just I kind of, you want to have some earphones on and be listening to music, so you don't have to hear the silly and ignorant comments that could come out of the stands. And some of them come from my family members, so I'm trying to quiet them as well along the way. But it's a great feeling to watch your little brother living out his dreams. Very proud of him. Nervous watching. More nervous watching than playing. I mean, when I'm out there playing, I feel like I have a chance to have an impact on the game every
right.
play, and when I'm watching, I can't do anything. I'm just praying that he makes the right play, and just really proud of him. Though, you know, it's been fun to watch our relationship grow. I actually was his basketball coach in 8th grade, and we butted heads because we're both competitors, and I pushed him probably harder than the other kids on the team because I knew what he was capable of, and and since then our relationship was a little bit rocky in high school, and then he kind of thought it was cool that his brother, you know, was in the NFL, and then that's kind of what he wanted to do. So our relationship has really grown probably the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been fun to watch him kind of live out his own dreams and go to junior college route, and now he's getting a chance to play, and he played really well.
He did play well. As you know, Maddie likes to watch football, so we queued it up. It was on the internet. We had to watch it on the ESPN website. But have you seen his game? Like, how often do you get to see him play, and how much do you get to does he like send you a tape once in a while so you can watch him?
We got the channels on the channels on the TV. We can get the some of the SEC network stuff. So I've seen a lot of his games. He actually has played in every game of the season. The starter got hurt each of the first 5, and then just played poorly in the sixth, though he went in and played a majority of the game against Georgia. He started the last two. I've been telling him all year, you know, his story is similar to mine, going to junior college, not starting, you know, his first year of playing at Division I. But I said, hey, you're going to get a chance at some point. You just got to be ready for it and make the most of it. And he played okay in the first few, but I knew if he got a chance to really be the starter and start from the first play of the game, get into a rhythm, that he would have a good performance. Didn't play as well as he probably wanted to against Army, but still ran the ball for almost 100 yards and threw for a touchdown. And then they're playing the number 10 team in the country last week, and he ran the ball for 70 yards and two touchdowns and threw the ball for 240 and a touchdown, and didn't turn the ball over, forced a turnover, forced a fumble, a guy running the end zone in the fourth quarter. Arkansas player picked up a fumble, ran it back about the two-yard line. My brother hit him. Guy fumbled. Vandy recovered in the end zone for a touchback. So he made a lot of plays. He's definitely a better athlete than I am.
One other thing about Jordan, when you watch him, do you see any of your mannerisms or anything that you do that he does? And was his maybe tackle or forced fumble a little more athletic than your tackle of Brian Urlacher in the NFC Championship?
No, I don't know, because that was pretty athletic. It was. He's a lot faster than I am. He's a better athlete. I see some of the similar mannerisms when he's in the pocket, kind of moving around. He does a nice job of keeping his eyes downfield as he moves towards the line of scrimmage, which I really feel like is when you're the most dangerous. He's a better runner than I am, than I ever was, and than I ever will be. So he has the ability when he's in the open field to make guys miss and outrun guys. He had a great run against Army, called back about a 35-yard touchdown where he broke two or three tackles, spun move, did a spin on a guy and ran in the end zone, outran the guys. So he's a better athlete in the open field than I am. He's good in the pocket, moving around and keeping plays alive. And I think, you know, he's just going to keep on getting better as he gets more confidence. They're playing in a tough conference. I mean, it's the NFL of conferences, the SEC. You got a lot of guys going pro from that conference, and it's going to be a great experience for him.
How did he end up at Vandy?
He went to junior college, went to Butte Community College like I did. And then as he was coming out after his freshman year, they won a national championship. But he was the backup and used kind of here and there. He started the last four games of the regular season for him when the starter got hurt. Did a nice job. And then his sophomore year, he was getting recruited by a few schools. Washington, I believe, was looking at him. Kansas was kind of his big school that offered him, and that's when Mangino was still there. And looked like a great opportunity. They had that quarterback who was a little shorter, but putting up some huge numbers that year. And they were throwing the ball over the place and winning a lot of games. And then Mangino got fired, and there was actually him and this other JUCO quarterback have been offered. The other JUCO kid committed, so they kind of pulled Jordan's scholarship. He's looking for another offer. Got a few. Vandy was kind of the best option at that point, and I think he was a little bummed at first that you know, Kansas had pulled their offer. But you know, like I told him at the time, I said you couldn't have fallen into a better situation, a great city, a great academic school, and an opportunity to play.
I'm always fascinated by those stories, whether it's yours or his or countless others, how kind of everything happens for a reason, and you end up where you end up, and it a lot of times works out for the best. One other thing about that doesn't have anything to do with football. Yesterday was Halloween. You had chosen during your phone interview last week from Parts Unknown not to tell us what your Halloween costume was. Did you, in fact, dress up?
I did. I had two, yes.
Two?
Two costumes, yes. One was, what was it? It was Chuck Rambo was one. There's a combination of Chuck Norris and Rambo, John Rambo. Of course, that was an Army karate mix where it turned out really, really good.
You were happy with that?
I was, yeah. And the other was, how do I say this? PC. Well, I'll just say what I spray painted my hair orange and wore some orange clothing.
You were a dreamsicle?
Sure.
What's when you dress up for Halloween? Do you go out to a party, or are you answering the door when the kids come to?
No, I get didn't. Candy? You know, I got back to my house. I was only there for a few minutes yesterday. Heard some kids banging on the door. I didn't have any candy, so I apologize to those kids. Been out of town for the bye week.
That sounds like a weak excuse.
It's
buddy.
A bad excuse, yeah. But I didn't have any candy, so and I was only home for about 20 minutes. But a few of the guys got together last night and hung out, had a good time.
Do all the kids in the neighborhood know
yes.
that the quarterback lives there?
Probably yes.
Okay. So they're
judging by the few comments that I heard and the banging on my windows that are next to the door, we know you're in there. Come out. Yeah, I knew I was in there.
Well, happy Halloween to you.
Happy All Saints Day today.
Oh, there you go. You learned something new on the Aaron Rodgers Show. What have you seen the new Sports Illustrated cover for this week?
I have not.
Are you okay over there? You're bleeding.
I'm good, yes. I just have a little... I'm good.
Are we going to have to add you to the injury report?
No, I think I'll be okay. Thank you.
Have you seen the cover of Sports Illustrated this week yet?
I have not.
It is you, along with your six pass-catching compadres, tight end Jermichael Finley, and your five wide receivers. I assume you knew this was going to happen?
Yes, we did the photos Friday before Minnesota.
When I saw it, I thought, well, I wonder if the quarterback wanted to make sure that all of his receivers were included in this photo shoot. How did the photo shoot play out?
There were a couple options that were kind of told to me. You know, one being just photos of myself, and the other being, you know, with our six studs. And I didn't really want to be the focal point of a cover, to be honest with you. I enjoy sharing the spotlight, and to be able to put, you know, Greg Donald, Jordy, James, Randall, and the big fella, Jermichael, on the cover was a lot of fun. So, you know, it was quick. We did a couple poses. I'm not sure which one, if they chose the walking one or we're all, I'm sitting on my helmet.
You're
one.
Sitting.
Yeah. I always find those times a little interesting because you have a cameraman who is trying to get you to do a certain face or game face or smile or whatever. And I'm kind of like Bobby Knight when it comes to that. I don't know what a game face exactly is. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. I have about three looks, and they all kind of look the same, just like Derek Zoolander. I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot other than kind of the normal – you know, non-expression. That's that and her smile. So.
Now, this is your fourth Sports Illustrated cover, right? Or fifth?
I'm not sure.
You've been on, I think you were a couple times for preview, NFL previews in the regional setting.
And we had two last year. Maybe.
And then the Super Bowl and going to the Super Bowl on the touchdown run in Chicago. But you would prefer that those photos come from some sort of game action.
I'm not a big, you know, that's what I.
This is how we got in trouble with Mark Sanchez, just talking about you posing for photos.
Yeah, we don't want to do that again. I'm not a model, though. It's kind of what I tell fans when you get the awkward question of, can I take a picture of you? I usually respond with, well, I'm not a model, but if you want to get into picture, then maybe we can have a conversation here. But I think the action shot is a lot better shot than anyone you're gonna try and get me to do. You know, I like the ESPN, the magazine cover, where they're, you know, the people are holding me up, which we actually did here at Lambeau. But other than that, I think it's really hard to get a good action face, you know, or photo when you're trying to do something planned from a camera guy who's probably never played sports before. He wants to do a 1940s pose with the ball behind your head and your left arm straight out. I mean, it's just, it's hard.
That would have been funny, though.
It's just hard to get the kind of shot that you really enjoy. So I'd rather do an action.
There was, you were on the cover of like the Sporting News. You look like you're like hanging from a 2x4 or something.
It's terrible.
Yeah. You're not a fan of that one?
No. Nope.
As you can tell, there's not a lot of football to talk about because you're coming off a bye week, so we don't have a game from last week to discuss. But we will have the Chargers to look forward to. The SI cover jinx, are you a believer? I know you're not a believer in the Madden jinx, although the guy who beat you out for the cover has had kind of a rough year this year in Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of comments about the Madden cover.
Is that a sore spot for you?
No, it's not. But I think that the less you talk about it, the less the curse has power, if there is one, to say. Madden, you know, the Sports Illustrated, you know, I've always found it coincidence at times, but I think, you know, I'm not worried about any type of jinx or curse or any of that stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't give you a good answer on that one.
That you gave us an honest answer. That's all we ask for. I did watch Monday Night Football last night. I'm wondering if you did.
I missed the biggest play, I guess, the fumble, late in the game. But I did see a little bit of it, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had during your career, whether it was high school or college or in the NFL, where you've had a play like the one that Philip Rivers is going to have to recover from. I'm sure, you know, I watched his press conference. He was pretty down. Do you know him at all? Is there any connection there in the quarterback fraternity?
Yeah, Phil lives in San Diego, actually plays golf at the same place that I do down there. I believe he has 5 kids, so he's got his hands full. Doesn't really play a whole lot of golf, but he's a member at the course. Really enjoy the few opportunities I've had to spend time with Phil off the field. I have a lot of respect for the way he plays. He's a great quarterback. Disappointed for him, you know, that's tough. It's, you know, the center quarterback exchange is something you probably take for granted at times. I did a radio interview this morning, and they asked me about the play, and I said, honestly, the last play of the Super Bowl, there's a million things that could go in your mind, but the last thing I thought about was, let's just make sure I get this snap before I go take a knee.
Really?
Just because, you know, it's you take it for granted, but I mean, that's the last play of the greatest game of your life, you know, the greatest feeling to win a Super Bowl. You don't want something crazy to happen. So I think it's a focus thing that kicked in for me, and I reminded Scott right before, like, hey, just snap up there nice and hard. But it's one of those things, you just like, you know, giving a handoff, you know, a snap on a special teams, a hold on a special teams, you take those for granted. But you've seen over the years, you know, I think about, unfortunately, 2 plays. When you think about, you know, snaps and holds, you think about, you know, Tony in the playoffs against right. Seattle, and you think about that poor guy for the Giants. Well, I do, when who came out of retirement after like 22 years. It's a snap for the Giants. They're playing the 49ers when Jeff Garcia was leading the 49ers in a I think, divisional playoff round, and he had a bad snap, which the Giants ended up running around, throwing it down the field. It was pass interference. They didn't call it. You know, all that stuff, and the Niners end up winning that game. But those are things you take for granted sometimes, and it's like my buddy Brett Good. You know, you probably wonder, who's Brett Good? Well, that's a good thing. He's a long snapper right. for the Packers. If you don't hear his name, then he must be doing a good job.
And knock on wood, he has not had a single bad snap. For a guy that was, like, laying dry, you know, he's putting drywall up, or he's making a driveway with his father-in-law or something when the Packers called a couple of years ago. When
I don't think he has a father-in-law, but...
Well, whoever it was. J.J. Jansen got hurt, right? Yeah. And lo and behold, Brett came out and has done a great job for him. When we come back, we'll look ahead a little bit more to the Chargers. We'll also, since we don't have any plays to go inside the helmet, we will talk about where things stand at the midpoint of the season. And we'll talk about the team photo, which was taken on Monday, and what you and your photobombing friend are up to in the front row when we come back. You are listening to The Aaron Rodgers Show with Aaron Rodgers and the other guy. I always like to play Name That Tune when we come back for the second half of the Aaron Rodgers Show. What do we got this time? Do you recognize it?
No, I don't want to either.
Fish?
It's a single off the Strokes' latest album. So the Strokes, Under Cover of Darkness, was the correct answer.
So better luck next time. Once again, you have yet to...
next.
You've yet to match the brilliance of your... theme music selection from the opening week. So that'll be, again, be careful with Fish. We don't want to hurt his feelings. Jason Wilde and Aaron Rodgers with you on the Aaron Rodgers Show. We don't have the inside the helmet games to look at, as we like to do every week, plays from the previous game. But since we've reached the semi-halfway point because of the bye week coming after week seven, I thought maybe this would be a good time to look at the first half of the season. I know you're never satisfied, but maybe what do you feel good about with this team right now, and maybe what concerns you about it?
I don't think there's any major concerns. I feel good about the fact that we won the games we were supposed to win, and we've also dealt with a lot of adversity and been able to pull out victory after trailing at halftime in three games. That says a lot about the kind of character we have and the kind of leadership we have, which starts at the top. I think we're fortunate enough to be able to stay pretty injury-free for the most part. Obviously, there's been a few injuries and losing Cliffy and Mike and and Clay's been banged up a little bit, but the bye week was came at a good time for us. Offensive line needed a week to get healthy with Brian and Josh and TJ all having little bumps and bruises. Obviously, Chad. So that came at a good time. I think it's going to be important for us in the second half to just play more consistently for 60 minutes. I don't think we've really put together a complete game like we wanted to. That's always the goal. We've just been a little bit too inconsistent in all three phases. In every game.
Before we talk about how you've played, you mentioned Cliffy. Are you operating under the belief that you'll see him protecting your blind side at some point this season? I haven't seen him in the locker room. I haven't gotten to talk to him at all. I passed him in a hallway in Minneapolis. That's the only experience I've had with him.
Yeah, he's improving. I think he's still probably a few weeks away from being ready. I think it's been a great experience for Marshall. To really step up and play well. I think he's done a really good job for us. And as you're looking towards the future, with Cliffy being, at the end of his career, I don't know if he's going to play, one more or two more or be done after this season. But, I think you got to be encouraged by the way that Marshall's played. So I'd love to see Cliffy back out there. He's been a rock for us, a left tackle for over a decade. So it'll be exciting to get him back out there.
Let's talk about how you're playing and how you feel about your first half of the season. We're seven games in. You've thrown three interceptions, which I know is one statistic that you look at a lot, and you probably feel like is never low enough for you unless it's a zero. You're 171 of 239, which is 71.5%, which I believe is on pace for the NFL record. 2,372 passing yards. You've been sacked 16 times, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a passer rating of 125.7. I know you're not a huge numbers guy, but what do those numbers tell you, good and bad?
Well, I think it says that I'm playing the way I want to play. When you start the season, I think you set some personal goals. Don't always have to do with specific numbers, but I like to keep my turnovers down. I'm touching the ball every play, so it's important for me to not turn the ball over, and that gives us a chance to win every week. So I look at a number like 10 as far as turnovers for a season. I'd like to keep it around there or below is even better, and that counts interceptions and fumbles. And up until now, I've done a good job of holding on the ball in the pocket and holding the ball when I'm running it and not turning the ball over a lot throwing the football. So when we're doing that on offense, we're going to be moving the sticks pretty well, putting up good yardage, keeping our defense on the sidelines, and putting points on the board. So we scored a lot of points this season so far. We've got to keep that going. But if we're not turning the ball over, we're going to be tough to beat because our defense is leading the league in takeaways.
You mentioned fumbles. By the way, our mutual friend Laurie Nickel, very impressed with your Bob Knight reference of the game face.
Good to hear.
You mentioned the fumbles. Bob McGinn did a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week about the fact that you very seldom, if ever, fumble. Is that something that you've always been good at going back earlier in your college career and junior college, or is that something that you've worked to get better at?
I think it's something that that I got to give credit to George Cortez, who was my offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at Cal. And we used to do this monotonous drill in warm-ups every day where we drop and step in the pocket between three boards on the ground and shuffle and drop and move up and drop back and shuffle over and step in the pocket and always working on keeping two hands on the ball, and he'd be messing with it, trying to strip it. And as much as we did that, it built a great muscle memory, I think, in my brain, that any time I'm moving up in the pocket, always having two hands on the ball, because I think that's when a lot of the fumbles occur. You know, there's a few that happen when you're taking a ball up to throw it, but there's a lot when you're moving up in the pocket and guys are swiping at it on the way out. And if you can keep two hands on that, that's when you can avoid those fumbles. So I've always, since college, been pretty good at keeping two hands on the ball and not really turning over a lot when I move up in the pocket. So I got to give him credit for that. But it's something that needs to be on your mind, because I think as a quarterback, taking care of the football should be your top priority. So, you know, if you look at the teams that are playing the best right now, you know, Alex in San Francisco is doing a great job. He's throwing two interceptions this season, and he's keeping them in the game. And, you know, he's moving the ball effectively. Matt Stafford in Detroit, I believe, is throwing four interceptions in eight games. I mean, that's excellent. When you're not turning the ball over, you're giving your team a great opportunity to win those games.
That fumbling thing, though, is significant, because watching defensive coaches here, and I assume in the other 31 cities, they focus on that with their defensive linemen and their linebackers, right? I mean, they are conditioned to go after the ball when they're sacking you. They don't want just the sack. They want the ball to come loose.
Oh, without a doubt. And if you talk to those pass rushers, they know if they strip the quarterback in the pocket, whether he goes down or not, that counts as a sack. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to swipe at that ball always and rip that ball out. So it's, you know, that's on their mind all the time. So it's important, you know, to know that, because, you know, when you're stepping in the pocket or when you're at the top of your drop, you know those guys are flying around the corner trying to get the ball out of your hands. So, you know, it's always been something that we talk about in Green Bay, and it's the first thing that we look at every time we come in on Monday and meet as a group, as offensive group, is we talk about turnovers. And if we're not turning the ball over, we're going to be tough to beat.
Well, you came in on Monday from the bye week. You had a padded practice. You got back to work, and all your preparation for the Chargers began. Let's look ahead to the Chargers. First of all, you're playing in San Diego in your off-season home. Is there any significance to going and playing there? Will you have family and friends there? Do you look for? Had you been looking forward to this game because it's in your stomping grounds?
I've been looking forward to this game ever since I bought a house there a few years ago. I enjoy living down there. I enjoy getting to work out with a lot of NFL guys down there. I love the beach. I just love the area, so I really been looking forward to going down there and playing. Ticket requests have been pretty heavy, you know, but I'm excited to be able to see a lot of friends from that area. Also, it's, you know, a short flight from Sacramento, so my friends and family from Chico are going to head down as well. So it's going to be great to play down there. The surface down there is incredible. They keep that field in pristine shape. As far as the Chargers are concerned, they're a good football team. You know, like we talked about Phil being a great player. I get to throw those receivers in the offseason at times. Now, some of them aren't there. Legadu, Nene is with the Panthers now, and Sproles, who's always in those throwing groups. You know, he's in New Orleans now, but it's been fun to get to know some of those guys over the years. I know Vincent Jackson real well and Malcolm Floyd, and it's going to be exciting. I know Sean Phillips. I've seen him a number of times and work out with him in the offseason. So enjoy those guys. I have a lot of respect for them and the way they play. Coach Minuski does a great job with that defense. They're on a 3-4. They like to bring those outside guys, bring pressure. They have a couple guys who played in San Francisco with Minuski. So it's going to be a tough challenge for us. Eric Weddle at safety is playing at a very high level. He had two more picks last night. He's got five for the season. Quentin Jammer has been playing for over a decade and doing a great job playing at a high level for a number of years. Dante Hughes, I played with at Cal. He's playing in the nickel for them. So it's going to be a tough test for us. You know, Tekeo Spikes in his 14th year, still playing a high level for him inside. So there's a lot of familiarity with the guys they have and myself, and I know it's going to be a tough challenge.
So even though it's an uncommon opponent, because it's obviously out of the conference and out of the division, you've watched some film, obviously. Yep. Do you have a good feel for this? I'm not saying that you're ready for them by any means. You got a whole week of preparation left. But do you have maybe a better feel for this team than you would for another uncommon opponent that you don't see as frequently?
No, I think so. You know, we played them in the preseason 2006 and the regular season 2007. And, you know, obviously their coordinator was in San Francisco, so we've played them the last couple of years. They're a 3-4 team that they likes to play from an under front. So they kick the front, to the strong side in their 3-4 personnel. They're stout up front. They have two good pass rushers. When they go in sub, they bring in a couple more really good pass rushers. So it's a 3-4 defense, which we've been fortunate enough to work against in practice for the last 3 years, which really helps you with communication and protection adjustments and just understanding how that 3-4 operates. So that helps you out a little bit. But it is an uncommon opponent, and it's going to be important for all our guys to prepare accordingly.
One other thing before we get to this week's Ask Aaron questions. Our old friend Homer brought this up yesterday. I wrote a story about JerMichael Finley, talking with him and his desire to be a Packer for life and hopefully get a deal done before the season is over. You're not a free agent, technically, for another 3 years. I don't want to put you on the spot talking about money, but is that something that is on the horizon for you? I mean, is that something that enters your radar? Do you let your agent worry about it? Because at some point it's going to have to be addressed because you've outperformed your contract.
You know, I got a great agent in Dave Dunn, and been fortunate enough to work with him for a few years now, and I let him handle that stuff. It's not something I think about. We were so blessed to be able to have that contract done in 2008, and we knew at the time that was more money than I ever could have imagined signing for, and it was a no-brainer for me. But we knew if I performed the way I felt I was capable of performing, that by league standards, that I by the time I got in my fourth, fifth, sixth season, I might be underpaid if by league standards, I guess. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it as I'm fortunate to make the kind of money I make and be in the situation I'm in and be with the Packers organization. I want to retire as a Packer, and they know that. The fans know that, my teammates know that, and this is where I want to be. So I'm not worried about that. We're still a few years away from me completing this deal, and whenever it comes time to make a new deal, I'm looking forward to maybe signing my last deal and playing that out and retiring.
You're not going to match it up with your buddy Ryan Braun? His deal is 10 years.
Ten years,
through 2021, I think, or 2020?
2020, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm happy for him. He's a great player, and
can you picture
had a
yourself
great season
at age 37? I mean, that would be old because I'm even older than that. Can you see 10 years down the road? Do you think that way?
Not really. I don't. I like to focus on the here and now. I think that's important to stay in the present. But you also got to think about your end of your career and post-career goals as well. I really don't see myself 10 years from now still playing ball. I don't. I'm in my seventh season. Like when you come in the league, you want to get to five and feel that'd be an accomplishment. And you get to five, you kind of want to get to eight. You get to eight, you get to ten. You're like, man, that's a decade of playing football. And then anything after that's an added bonus. I just don't see myself being 37 and still playing. Not that I wouldn't enjoy it if I'm still healthy and playing the way I want to play. But I see 12, 15 years, something in there being quite an accomplishment and something that I could be proud of.
It helps to have started when you were pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, to have gotten into the league when you did. Let's get to this week's Ask Aaron questions. You can get involved with the show by using the Ask Aaron hashtag on Twitter. The first one comes from Paul, and it's in reference to the Chargers. When an opponent loses a game in excruciating fashion like last night, how mad and motivated do you think they are on Sunday? This is kind of a question that our friend Bill Johnson was asking on our show this morning, too. When a team loses a game like that, would it have been better if they had played well, or do you think it has any impact at all in the following week's performance since you're their opponent?
Well, it's something we were talking about last night, the guys that got together, some of them saying, hey, it would have been better if they had just won, so they maybe weren't as upset. I think that stuff doesn't have a whole lot of bearing once you get into the Sunday. I think it can help with motivation during the week. The things they have working against them are that they're on a short week. Matthews went out of the game late in the game.
Yep.
Sean Phillips didn't make the trip. So the injuries is something that could be an issue for them, only having a few days to prepare and not sure what the status of those guys is going to be. But by the time we get to Sunday, that stuff pretty much gets thrown out the window, and they're going to line up 11 solid players on defense. And we've had a week to rest and a week for our staff, to game plan for those guys. But it comes down to execution on Sunday. We're playing on the road, which makes it more difficult with the crowd noise. But we know it's going to be we're going to get their best shot.
But there's something to be said for a team that's been put in kind of a desperate situation. They're in
right. But
they lose, they go to 4-4.
Right, but they're in the AFC West. It's a three-way tie for first with Kansas City and Oakland both being 4-3 as well. I don't think it's the desperation of a team worried about losing their season in week 9, with a potential loss.
The second one comes from Nick. Since Halloween just passed, what is Aaron Rodgers' biggest fear?
I have two. Sharks. Terrified of sharks. And heights. Don't like being up high.
Really?
Yep. I was in New York, actually, in 2005 when we went out there for the draft. We got to we were out there a few days before the draft, and we got to the tour the Empire State Building. And at the top of the Empire State Building, they have a pretty big guardrail, if you will, with angled metal posts that there's no possible way you could even climb up or think about getting close to the edge of that place. But I was terrified. I was sweating. I was just it was really nerve-wracking. And that was really scary for me. And the other thing was, I was in San Francisco when I was playing at Cal, and a buddy of mine we're going to go get some dinner. But before it, he's like, "Hey, let's go on this elevator ride real quick." I didn't know what was going on, but we ended up going on this elevator, which was on the outside of this hotel, and goes up about 40 floors. You can see the whole city and the bay and the bridges, and I didn't know what I was in for. And we started going up, and then you realize you're on the outside of this hotel, and I was terrified. I was eyes closed, looking against the opposite side of the bay and everything, and just telling them, we got to go down. I can't handle this. So long story to tell you that heights and sharks really freaked me out.
There's not a traumatic event with the sharks.
No, I just feel like there's a shark out there that's just got my name on him somewhere, and he's looking for me.
It's bad news for your surfing career. The third one comes from Becky. Will you marry me?
Why did you pick a question like that?
Here's why I picked that question. Given your celebrity and the situation that you're in as a well-known public figure, do you get a lot of that kind of stuff? And I know you're very private about your private life, and you try to keep it that way. Is that a challenge for you?
It is a little bit of a challenge, but I just think personally it's important to have a separation between your public life, which is scrutinized and out there in the open all the time, and your private life. So that's always been important to me. It has become a little more difficult to keep that privacy, but that's something I like to hold on to.
Are you excited about Kim Kardashian's availability?
I was just talking with Kevin about this. He's up on the gossip stuff, and he was saying he heard it in the radio there in Fairfield, which I responded must be the gossip capital of Northern California there, because I didn't hear anything about it. But that's a mess completely.
Isn't that exactly though what we're Chris Humphries, professional athlete, but that's the kind of stuff that you want to avoid, right? I mean, that's where your public life and your personal life all become one, and
right.
That's why you're on.
But some of those people really enjoy
right.
not having a separation. They enjoy being talked about, being on the magazines, having a TV show on E, and publicizing their wedding and filming everything and all that stuff. And that's just not. I just think I put so much added pressure to a situation that's just really unnecessary.
She made $18 million for that wedding thing.
Kev said 17, so obviously your gossip sites are a little more up to date than the ones he made.
All I got is Twitter. I'll defer to Kev.
Yeah.
The fourth one comes from Rob. Please ask Aaron whether Tim Tebow is any good. I'd hate for your show to be the only one that's not wasting time on this topic. What do you think of the whole Tim Tebow experience? I mean, this is a guy who's obviously got a lot of very fervent fans, and I, from my perspective, it's almost like it puts more pressure on the guy to now perform because he's been put in a tough situation where I'm not sure he was quite ready for it.
Well, I think dealing with the pressure is something that we have to do as NFL quarterbacks. He has enjoyed a lot of great fanfare. I know at one point he was the top selling jersey in the league for a guy who was second or third on the depth chart. I think if you understand the situation, it was necessary for him to play this year because he was drafted by the previous regime. And John Elway's come in, been the general manager. John Fox is new head coach. I think they needed to see what they had and either move forward with him or without him. So I guess he's going to get another opportunity this weekend. He had a big win the first week against the Dolphins. Tough situation last week against Detroit, a little better team. So it'll be interesting to watch this whole thing play out.
And finally from Joe, and this is the one I've been waiting for. Okay, what are you and Matt Flynn trying to do in the team picture, which was taken yesterday? For those who haven't seen it, maybe you can explain what your
How does that get out?
It's on Packers.com, and people apparently scrutinize the photo very closely.
I'm not sure exactly what they caught, but last year's photo, I think it's the history of the team photo is very funny to me. Back in 2006, when Charles Woodson was not maybe as friendly as he is now, in the team photo, he refused to take his hat off. What they ended up doing was they photoshopped some hairline on his head from somebody else, I'm guessing, and it just looks horrible. It makes his face look all distorted and stuff, and it's something that we love to poke at Charles about. And it was actually, everybody was laughing that we did on the field yesterday, and it was a little cold, so a lot of guys walked out there with their hats on, and I made the comment before, hey, everybody take your hat off, except for Charles. You can do whatever you want, just because Sarah Quick was standing there, and Sarah was the one who was asking him to take his hat off back in 2006, and Charles wasn't having it. So that's a little bit of a joke. Now, back to what we did last year for the photo, Brett Swain and myself and Matt all did the hang loose because they want you to have, if you're sitting in the front row, if you're a single digit or a two-digit number, it kind of goes in numerical order, and they want you to sit a certain way. And so we decided instead of putting our fists on our legs, we'd do a little hang loose. And so this year we think about how do we improve on that. And I think right as the picture was taken, I might have put my hand on his knee and him switch his hand on mine and still did the hang loose. So
that's exactly what you did.
It worked last year, so we'll see how it works.
Now, is that an extension of the captain's photo bombing? You just can't take a serious... You are Zoolander. You can't take a serious photo.
Well, I can. I have my moments, but I think a little levity in situations is appropriate and often appreciated.
Well, that does it for this week. We will be back next week as the 7-0 Packers travel to San Diego in search of going to 8-0. We'll be back next week to talk about that game and look ahead to the Vikings again. You got to play them again that quickly. Pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, another division game after that.
You have
Fish, let's get a little better music coming back from the break next week. Maybe something that
give them some. You're all about constructive feedback with your teammates. Give Fish some constructive feedback. Help
I'm looking
out.
For something mid-90s, something that I enjoyed maybe in my junior high days.
Like Belle Biv DeVoe? Or?
No, I'm gonna say, just some sort of either 90s Dave Matthews, which is his best era in my opinion, or Counting Crows had a number of great hits during that era, and also one of my favorite bands, Live. Had some good hits there in the mid.
Lightning Crashes.
That's a great song. That is. So maybe something along those lines. That was the beginning of my love for music there in the mid 90s. So help me out, Fish.
Always coaching Aaron Rodgers. That is the Aaron Rodgers Show for this week. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.